Hey, have you guys heard the message? No, not the Grandmaster Flash song, not the Nas song, the new modern-day War of the Worlds podcast from GE Podcast Theater and Panoply. It follows Nikki Tomlin, a PhD in linguistics from the University of Chicago, who's working on deciphering an alien message from over 70 years ago. Subscribe today to The Message on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Guys, this episode is also being brought to you by Foot Cardigan. A subscription to Foot Cardigan will get your favorite person one amazing pair of whimsical socks delivered to their mailbox every month. Yeah, you heard that right. They'll remember your awesome gift every month for as long as you want them to. Month to month or 3, 6, 9, 12 month prepaid subscriptions are all available. And Foot Cardigan makes getting socks for Christmas fun again, assuming that that was once a thing that you found fun. And guys, get 10% off any Foot Cardigan subscription by going to footcardigan.com and entering Cracked during checkout, and your favorite person will be reminded how amazing you are every single month, every time they look down at their warm, comfortable feet. Internet, and welcome to another episode of the Cracked Podcast. My name is Jack O'Brien. I'm the editor-in-chief of Cracked, and we're listening to The Killing Moon by Echo and the Bunnymen from the opening scene of the early 2000s time travel movie championship belt holder Donnie Darko. And time travel is the subject of this week's episode. That's actually a thing in my life, I realized as I was thinking about time travel movies before this week's episode. A time travel movie championship belt that gets passed back and forth by the latest dope movie about time travel. It's almost like the time travel movie with the belt comes to define the entire aesthetic of my memories of that period of time. Their soundtracks are sort of always playing softly in the background of my memories from that period. So, Back to the Future kicks things off in 1985. I'm going to take you through the history of the belt. I didn't have memories before then, if you're wondering why we're starting there. Back to the Future holds the belt from 85 to 89, then Back to the Future 2 takes it for a couple months before giving it to Bill and Ted's in the same year, 1989. Huge upset. Comes out of nowhere, like most Keanu Reeves movies. So Bill and Ted's and Back to the Future 2 and regular Back to the Future trade it back and forth until 1992, when it gives it to Terminator 2, top 10 movie of all time, in my book. Looks like it's going to have it for years, but gets upset by Groundhog Day in 1993, another top 10 movie for me, which itself is upset by 12 Monkeys in 1995, which is one of my five favorite movies. So the three of those movies, T2, 12 Monkeys, Groundhog's Day, trade it back and forth for the next 6 years until 2001, at which point Donnie Darko takes it just because it's younger and more energetic, and it holds it for a couple years before giving it to Primer. And the world spends the next 7 years trying to figure Primer out. Looper comes out in 2012. It's pretty great, but Primer has sort of made the ultimate time travel movie in the sense that it renders the subject unusable by exhausting the possibilities while kind of removing the fun from the genre. And that's where we stand today. A movie called Project Almanac came out this year. Seems like an attempt to make Primer more mainstream and fun, which is kind of missing the point of Primer. Primer isn't supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be rigorous and punishing. Anyways, if you haven't seen any of those movies, I recommend them all. If you have seen Project Almanac and it's worth watching, let me know on Twitter. I'm at Jack_O'Brien. Otherwise, this is a live episode we recorded back in October of 2015, the week before Back to the Future Day, the date that Marty traveled forward to in Back to the Future 2. We've spent a lot of time analyzing the Back to the Future universe on our site, I think on this podcast, explaining why that world was inherently racist and sort of creepy. And I'll explain a couple of new reasons it's creepy in today's podcast. We'll also talk about where we would travel back to in the past if we had to pick a time. I think Dan explains why he wouldn't have traveled back to meet his hero, Teddy Roosevelt, which makes sense, but I would have traveled back to party with his daughter, Teddy Roosevelt's daughter, Alice Roosevelt, who apparently treated her father's presidency like an opportunity to just have the most reckless 8-year-long party in the history of America. There are like amazing anecdotes about her firing guns off of a train that she just turned into a giant blacked out party. It would be like being the Nick Carraway to a much better Jay Gatsby, who doesn't give enough of a fuck to let any one love interest derail her unquenchable thirst to just fuck shit up. She feels kind of like an unstoppable force of nature. Anyways, we didn't have time to get to that, but we get to just about everything else. In case you're confused by the claims I make that Doc Brown would have to kill a bunch of Martys, I kind of speed past it when I touch on that during the live show, but I will show my work at the end in the footnotes by taking you through the exact logical chain I used to draw those conclusions. Until then, hope you enjoy Echo and the Bunnymen and this recording of our live show from back in October.
My name is Jack O'Brien. I'm the editor-in-chief of Crack. I'm joined on stage by Daniel O'Brien, no relation. This is news to him. And Soren Bowie,
co-host of the show. Thank you very much. We're really happy to have Dan here with us on this show that's Jack's and mine.
And we're going to talk about time travel today because in honor of Back to the Future Day is coming up, right? On Wednesday, or will have happened last Wednesday.
The day that is not the anniversary of the release of that movie, but it's the day that Marty time travels to in Back to the Future 2. It's the date on the thing, right?
Is that yes. Okay. Yeah. We're just figuring this out now?
Yeah.
We should have talked about this before.
Well, there have been hoaxes every single year where people, as soon as October rolls around, people are like, this is the year, this is the year, and it just gets spread virally. But this is legitimately the year. Sorry, just clearing that up.
So some of the things we're going to talk about, just to get you guys thinking, because we'll have you, I think, if we have a mic out there. If not, you'll just shout. Oh, there it is. We'll ask you to...
There's very clearly, for those listening at home, there's a microphone dead center giant, in front of us. Yeah. Lit by 19 lights, it seems like.
And I walked into the audience and started looking around and looking under chairs. So we're going to ask you guys, where would you time travel to? Best place in the past to time travel to? And other stuff that came up about time travel that comes up.
Just Rolodexing all of the movies that speculated on time travel and see which ones we think came pretty close. Yeah. Or are we not doing that?
Yeah, no, we'll do that.
Yeah.
We can do whatever you want, Dan. Where do you guys want to start? You want to start with BTTF2, as we call it around the office?
That's, yeah, chronologically speaking, that's where I started when I watched the movies.
With the second one? Like, what is happening? We have a episode of After Hours coming out on Wednesday, which is Back to the Future Day. I don't know if you guys... Dan, tell them what that means.
The entirety of this podcast hinges on you guys being excited about Back to the Future
Day. Thanks.
Yeah, a couple fans. You guys have seen it. I have like 6 paragraphs about why Doc is like an evil Time Lord. Should I get into that? Or
I mean,
do you guys want to talk?
This is literally blank, so.
Yeah. I'm just looking over there, I'm like, oh man.
For people at home, I want to go through the progression of notes. Jack has full typed out notes with headers, subheaders. Dan has a blank piece of paper, but clearly has some intention
with
a pen of taking some notes. And I've got what the equivalent of maybe a cocktail napkin.
Yeah. You guys are so cool.
Yeah.
I'm a nerd.
I think a nice entry into this idea is that we start with the assumption that since this is Star Wars Day right now, if that were true, we would have hoverboards right now. Because in the October 2015 in Back to the Future 2, they have hoverboards. Why don't we have hoverboards? This is an egregious slight against all of us. And the counterpoint to that is we don't have hoverboards because, not because it's a movie, that's an absurd idea. We don't have hoverboards because their timeline advanced in a completely different trajectory, wherein skateboards were the most cool thing that you could be into in 1955.
Because the kid saw Marty invent the skateboard on the street and use it to literally have shit dumped on his...
on his enemy, on like the town bully, on the town hut. We don't have hoverboards now, but we have better music than they do in Back to the Future 2, and we have just like cooler technological advancements because... in 1955, in our timeline, rock and roll was the coolest thing you could be into. Like, that's when Chuck Berry was doing it. In their timeline, Calvin Klein is doing it, and he's no Chuck Berry.
And he, like, did a really shitty version of Johnny B. Good. Like, it's not just that he, like, steals the invention from Chuck Berry.
More like Johnny B. Less good.
It is. He ruins rock and roll, but invents skateboards. So the idea is that Steve Jobs in that timeline, rather than inventing the iPod. So instead of that, it's all skateboard shit. And so it makes sense that we, in our stupid rock and roll timeline, don't have hoverboards. Fuck rock and roll. The other thing, the other thing that kind of blew my mind, I wrote this episode and I just thought of this late at night and like couldn't sleep for 2 days, was the fact that when Marty comes back to the future...
You gotta be more specific. I'm really sorry.
There's a lot of time.
At the end of the first movie, when Marty comes back to the future...
Yeah, truck future. He has a truck in his garage. Go
right, he has a truck in his garage. His parents are cool. These are the parents who... He got his dad to save his mom. But in order for Marty to look anything like that, his parents would have had to have had sex at the exact same time, and the one sperm out of 100 million sperms that his dad ejaculates, this gets kind of gross, I don't know. I should have thought about that ahead of time.
No. It's demonstrated in one of my favorite time travel slash romantic comedy movies, About Time, which is a movie about time travel and love and fathers and sons. And this is a guy who is allowed to time travel back to any point in his own life and then change the events that go forward. And he realizes that if you go back to a time before your child was born, then as time goes by, you will not have the same child because you can't pick the exact sperm that will impregnate the exact egg. And that's how the reproductive cycle works. And that's what this podcast is about.
Right. No, but even if they had been trying to recreate the same baby, they couldn't have because... there's just so many sperms, you guys. And, you know, half of them are female, half of them are male, and if the female one had gotten there first, Marty is a female child. And so that made me realize that Doc had to basically go into poor Marty timeline and kidnap the baby from that timeline and then time travel back and replace Marty babies so that this Marty would come back and it would be like a seamless transition. So the reason I have so many notes worked out is because I actually figured out what he would have to do to make that possible. And the math works out to...
Can we dim the lights a little bit?
The math works
Jack's
out
house
to,
is just covered in red string going from wall to wall.
The math works out to three versions of Marty that Doc had to basically looper. Like when Marty arrives back in 1955, the first time he was about to crash into that barn, he has to have just like killed him immediately. And 2 to 3 McFly babies kidnapped, probably a couple of them killed, or maybe replaced with babies from other couples. And he also actually has to technically looper himself at a certain point in order to make this a clean kind of transition. But it's all in service of the one Marty who saved his life. So it kind of makes sense.
The way it makes sense to me is here are two truths that I find to be inevitable and unalienable. The time travel situation here is not a quantum leap situation where Marty is taking over for some other body. He's not just like teleporting into something else that was already there. That is one truth. He is physically showing up from the past back to the present and hanging out at his new alternate parents' house. The other truth that is unalienable is that his parents, the new hip, sex-having, ass-slapping, tennis-playing McFlys, don't know why so it closed with tennis playing. Like, that was like,
athletics. Tennis
yeah,
playing.
They don't bat an eye when the Marty that we've been following for the entirety of Back to the Future 1 shows up back at this house. They don't look at him and say, like, oh, you are not what our son looks like. That means that he looks and acts exactly like the son that they had before, and that son is gone. Like, we don't know where that son is. So that son is dead. That son can only be dead.
He has to be. There's no other
also,
solution.
Third unavoidable truth, for that son to grow up to look exactly like Marty, per Jack's point, a baby needed to be swapped out at some point.
Yes.
If we agree that Doc Brown can't perfectly orchestrate one sperm to go into one egg, agree he can't.
We talked about this backstage.
Right. Then babies need to be swapped.
That's an official cracked stance. He can't do that.
There's one other way to do it, I'm now realizing.
What?
That is, he has siblings. Marty has siblings. So you go back to the point where that child, like the original Marty, could have been his brother, that jailbound brother. I think it was his... or is his uncle. Does Marty have siblings?
I've never seen the films.
Yeah.
I think he's got siblings, yeah. So you could go back to the time when that sibling was born. If that was the original Marty, and you know they're not going to look exactly the same, Doc has to do two things. One, he has to convince, slowly incept them to name the child something else, and then ensure that they procreate later and have someone that he can replace with Marty.
But that kid still has to look like Marty in order for any of this...
Not the second one, because the second one then is going to happen proactively.
But it's still, he's still killing a baby and swapping a baby out.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Jack, lots of babies died in Back to the Future.
There are babies dying.
I know that's important to you. It's fine.
But it makes sense. Like, Doc has had time travel since 1955. He has been the most powerful human being on the face of the Earth for, like, 30 years. So, like, there's no way that he maintained sanity, so...
No, yeah, absolutely. Doc is a friendless
babies.
Virgin. And
Marty... Not kill babies. I said he killed babies.
Sure.
Don't kill babies. You
That's
guys.
Important to clarify.
Whatever.
Yeah, I like the point about it that I like, because you could argue that why would Doc Brown go through all this effort? There are swaths of Martys who wouldn't even know anything was different, and swaths of McFly clans and Biff Tannen clans that wouldn't know. But the thing that is really touching about it is the Doc who is the Time Lord is the Doc who original Marty saved with that letter that was like, hey, you're going to get shot by Libyans at this place on this date, so watch out for that. And Doc Brown read it, and it saved his life. And ever since then, he was like, all right, well, I have time travel, and this boy, my best friend, saved my life. So I'm going to... The entirety of Back to the Future 1 and 2 is about Doc Brown making sure that Marty gets the girlfriend that he wants, the parents that are cool, the neighbor who is essentially a slave, and the car that he wants. Like, it's Doc Brown, who I assume has gone through the entirety of human existence with his time travel machines. And he's like, this is the best thing I could do, is give a perfect life to the child who saved me. And that's really a sweet viewing of the first Back to the Future movies.
Yeah, but he killed like 5 people to do that. But
most of them were Martys.
The other reason...
I'd kill an army of Martys if I got a car that I wanted.
But then, he gets that big kind of douchey truck.
Yeah.
He's really, there's no Biff in Marty's timeline. I mean, Marty has to go back to either his dad's, where there's a Biff, or he has to go into the future, where there's a younger Biff who wears a waffle iron on his head, yeah. I want to say.
You mean there's no bad Biff in Marty's current timeline?
Because
their neighbor is like the neutered car washing servant.
Old Biff, then, but there's no like young Biff in that timeline. That Marty has no foil within his own timeline. So... Really, what Doc is essentially doing is turning Marty into Biff in that timeline. He's given him a world in which he has that douchey truck. And he's just kind of a dick.
Right. He's going to be spoiled and an asshole. But
yeah.
So the smart thing that Doc does is he doesn't let Marty put any of this shit together. Marty's back in 1985 for like 15 minutes. And then Doc's like, hey, we have to go to the future.
14 minutes. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was
true.
A killer doc, wasn't it?
That was a really,
hey,
really good
hey, we have
doc.
To go back to the future.
Come on, Martin! But that is true. It's very disorienting. Like, Marty comes back to 1985 and it's like, oh, my girlfriend is not getting fired anymore and my parents are super into each other and they're like hopped up on old people fuck energy. And that's fine. I've got the car I want. I have a lot of catching up to do. And Doc's like, Marty, no! Cars! Future! Etc. So he has no time to like put any of these pieces together and be like, wait, who was here before me? And where is he now? There's no time. We're in the future. There's
right.
Hoverboards.
There's, exactly.
I guess there's one other possibility, which is that Doc isn't even from the timeline in which he claims to be from. That this is all orchestrated for Marty. Because if anyone comes to you with time travel, there's a very good chance that person is not from your time. No one from your time is going to be like, hey, I invented this. it's going to be somebody who came back and chose you specifically, because you'd be very careful about who you gave it to. So if there's a reason that Doc would try and orchestrate this all so that Marty fulfilled this sort of prophecy for him, then it works again. And there's no reason to believe that he would be from that timeline, because why on earth would an old man scientist befriend this child, and they're like the only buddies in this town? It doesn't make any sense. Old people are very creepy.
You didn't
children,
have a,
too.
You didn't have a old man best friend when you were 17? Just me?
Oh, Jack.
Oh, no. Karate Kid and Back to the Future both told me that was normal.
Soren, who did you hang out at malls with at night?
All parking lots in the middle of the night. Just, you know,
me and a bunch
stuff.
Of Biff Tannins, and that was it.
You were Biff Tannin, Soren. Everybody knows that. Do we want to talk about just straight up time travel realities? Reasons time travel would be terrible? History would be terrible to go back to?
Yeah,
I feel like if we're going to move away from movies and get straight into time travel as a concept, we should establish rules of time travel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Soren, take it away.
I think that you probably have to assume that it's the same as Bill and Ted and Back to the Future, which are both very, very similar, where you are going to a time, you're not transporting into a body. It's not Quantum Leap style. You don't get to transport into a body there. You just exist in parallel to whoever is already there. So they get to go back and see themselves.
Right, and you go and we assume, is this a linear or nonlinear timeline? Like, do we assume that we go back, we create a different timeline, or do we assume that we go back and time is linear? So whatever you do, whether you're a butterfly flapping its wings or just a cool guy crushing a bunch of butterflies, it's going to ripple out and affect the future. So if it's linear, the future you go back to is different than the future you left.
I think it's the latter. I mean, we should talk about the butterflies at some point.
Oh, finally. Thank God.
And you wanted to crush them. But, like, that's fine. It's that one. It's the one where you go back and you change everything, and now you have a different timeline.
Deal.
Okay. No, we established these rules because if someone's going to bring up the broad question of what would you do if you had a time machine and it can go back to one place or any place, what is the best answer for that? You're going to get so many broad responses unless you get some ground rules. Like, people will immediately say, oh, fix the Titanic or stop 9/11.
I had Titanic. You're stealing all of mine.
Oh.
Fix 9/11, you said?
God. I'm saying why you can't do this. Like, if you do something as big and important as changing course on the Titanic or stopping the
right.
terrorist attacks on 9/11, you have no idea what future you'd be going back to. Even if you could pull that off, which would be insane, it would mean going back to a future that could be much, much worse. You never know. What is your phrase about bad luck, Soren?
You never know what bad luck...
Nope. You never know what worse luck is saving you from.
That's right. It's technically Cormac McCarthy saying from No Country for Old Men. But I stole it.
Sounds awfully folksy for Cormac McCarthy. But I was only interested in the Titanic because if everybody had died on the Titanic, then that would have been a good place to go party for a little bit, because then you because then you don't actually alter the course of anything because everybody goes down with the ship. But because people got off the ship, and also because you could technically alter the course of the Titanic so that it doesn't sink, thus saving those lives, you can't do that. That's not a place that you could go back to.
Right. We're both in agreement.
You might save lots of lives.
Yeah, nobody wants that. We're both in agreement that you need to do something petty with time travel if you go back in the past. Like, your knee-jerk was, these are the best people to party with because you can't alter the course of history.
Right.
We're on the same page. Like, I wouldn't even want to go and meet, like, an idol of mine, like Teddy Roosevelt or Rick Springfield, who was, in fact, still alive. But I don't want to go and talk
Jesse
to him.
Scalera.
And, like,
you can't beat
what's
that.
What's going to happen to him? Because if you do that, amazing things will snowball into a bizarre cacophony of nonsense. So you need to go somewhere with incredibly low stakes, whether it's, oh, you know what, I wish I would have punched that bully, or I wish I would have partied on the Titanic.
Right. Yeah, it has to be like a self-contained thing where everybody dies. Or
you go back to impending disasters and just party the night before.
You'd be like, woo! Yeah, you just go to Pompeii and be like, this isn't even going to make sense, but I'm from the future. You guys are going to look weird.
Wearing a lampshade on your head.
What is that thing?
You could go to Woodstock or Russia right after World War II, because it was like apparently the biggest party ever, and like nobody would remember you at either of those places. So those would be fun places.
You could really get away with it at most parties in history because they're not going to remember much anyway. It's the same way that like there are people in your own life who may well be have been time travelers. That guy, Patty, who lived down the hall from you when you were in college and was, like, really into partying, but you only ever saw him maybe four times at parties. Like, that guy could have just been a time traveler who was just coming to hang out for a little bit and then split.
Right, there was a kid I knew in high school. Like, I grew up with him, and then we didn't see him for years, and we were like, where's Sean? We're like, oh, he's a Marine. No, he died. No, he's in Florida. All plausible. Could be any of those things. He's probably a time traveler.
Very easily.
By Soren's logic.
Yeah, that's what I would. I mean, if you have to use this for selfish reasons, you go back to a time when people wouldn't remember you, or you just go straight to when they're going to die, like Jack. But assuming that they won't remember you, then you just have these vague recollections of somebody who showed up briefly.
I think because of that, I would only go to the future. And this is assuming that, again, time is linear.
Oh, right. We didn't decide that. We didn't decide if you can go by both ways.
This is assuming that time is linear and I can go both ways.
Okay.
So I would go to the future to see what it is and then come back with my findings or my decisions or whatever makes me wiser or much more money. Because at that point, I have nothing really... Like, if I go back to my present and crush a bunch of butterflies in, like, a butterfly reserve...
God, stop crushing these butterflies.
I don't care what those ripples do to the future,
because
I have nothing invested in that. So I can go to the future and be like, oh, everyone's super into pogs again? I'm going to go back and fix that.
Two really cool things, by the way. Crushing butterflies and pogs.
Yes, yes.
Assure that me that you're a cool guy.
We started this talking about skateboards.
Good morning. Good morning. Wake up, Mr. West, Mr. West, Mr. Fresh, Mr. By himself, he's so impressed.
Hey guys, we're listening to Good Morning by Kanye West, the opening track off his album Graduation, which contains samples from my favorite Elton John song, Someone Saved My Life Tonight, and from one of my favorite Jay-Z songs, The Ruler's Back, and which contains the lyric, Good morning, look at the valedictorian, scared of the future while I hop in the DeLorean, which is one of my favorite Kanye-isms in that he has just run out of good ways to start a verse that rhyme with good morning, and so he changes the pronunciation to good morning, the common pronunciation of good morning used by nobody anywhere ever before. And that's why it's appropriate for this week's episode, because we're talking about time travel. You remembered that. I hope you enjoy it, and enjoy these words from our sponsors.
Good morning. On this day we become legendary. Everything we dreamed of. I'm like the fly Malcolm X. Buy any jeans necessary. Detroit where it cleaned up.
Hey guys, so in this episode, I'm about to talk about our good old friend, the Flynn Effect. You remember the Flynn Effect, right? It states that society as a whole is getting smarter with each passing generation. You take an average person from the 1930s, and give them an IQ test from today, and they'd be labeled a big old dummy. Even you, you're smart, you listen to this podcast, but if you take an IQ test from the 2060s, assuming that were possible, they'd probably ship you up to the space asylum on the moon where they keep all the dum-dums. Now, I don't want you guys to go to a space asylum, so fight the Flynn Effect by signing up for a free 10-day trial with our good friends at lynda.com. Lynda is the home to over 3,000 courses on topics like photography, web design, graphic design, IT, and education. There are classes on speed reading, improving your memory, and just being more productive. All the stuff you're going to have to do in the 2060s. So go to lynda.com/cracked and you can get a 10-day free trial with unlimited access to every single course on lynda.com. Plus unlimited access to watch on your iPhone or Android device. So start learning something new by starting a 10-day free trial at lynda.com/cracked. That's lynda.com/cracked. Hey guys, speaking of time travel, don't you wish you could time travel back to late August and redo your fantasy draft? That would be a bad misuse of time travel, but it would be useful to go back and tell yourself to pick Devonta Freeman and Cam Newton with your first picks. Actually, SB Nation ran a really funny piece this weekend about how you'd actually be better off drafting your players at random to start the year than listening to
all the preseason prognosticating that goes on. And that brings me to our sponsor this week, DraftKings. DraftKings is the destination for one-week fantasy football, where you can redraft your players, only pick up the good ones, and win boatloads of money each week. You can compete in a league with thousands of players, create a custom league for just your friends, or go head-to-head for just a dollar. So hurry to DraftKings.com now and use promo code CRACKED to play free for a shot in this Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest, where first place takes home $100,000. So once again, that's DraftKings.com and use promo code CRACKED.
Good morning, look at the valedictorian, scared of the future while I hop in the DeLorean, scared to face the world, complacent career student, some people graduate but be still stupid, they tell you read this, eat this, don't look around, just peep this, preach this, teach us Jesus, okay, look up now, they done stole your streetness, after all of that, you receive this, good morning.
Hustlers, that's if you're still living, get on down.
The only problem with going to the future is you're going to be stupider than everybody if you go far enough.
Oh, is that a problem?
The Flynn effect. What?
I'm already like top three dumbest people in this room. Immediately.
Yeah, that was something that I was considering just in terms of traveling back in time. Based on like our current standard of IQ tests, people 100 years ago get a 70. So it's like reverse Idiocracy. And that's like the difference between the average person now and the average person 100 years ago. They like found these interviews with people of that time where they were like trying to get them to think abstractly, and they were like, what do a fish and a crow have in common? And the guy was like, absolutely nothing. He was like, aren't they both animals? He's like, no, one's a fish, the other's a bird. I'm like, that was it.
It's, get out of here, you whatever you are.
Right. The other was, there are no camels in Germany. Hamburg is in Germany. Are there camels in Hamburg? And the answer was, well, if it's large enough, there ought to be. And then the guy said, no, but what do my words imply? And he said, well, maybe it's a small village. So it's like,
so, I'm so charmed by the past.
Who is asking these questions?
Some smart science guy. Like,
what friendless virgin is like, hey, you know what would be cool if I show future scientists how dumb everyone but me is?
Right.
Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, they were just basically somebody who got the idea of abstract thinking 100 years ago, and he was like, hey, let's see if anyone else can do this. And it was no, hard no.
Somebody who had a lot of time to kill before Marty was born.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Didn't have anything else going on. Was very smart.
But so you're saying if I time travel to 100 years from now, whatever the next evolutionary phase of abstract thinking that they value so highly, I won't understand it. I won't.
You're the equivalent of that guy.
I will have figured out time travel, but I still won't understand whatever they've figured out.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah. I don't care for that.
Yeah. So you're going to be like a weirdo because you speak differently from everyone. Language evolves to the point that they'll be like, why do you talk like that?
But I can understand you.
If you go back in time, the other problem that you face is that before photographs, they just had wanted posters. So basically, they'll just find somebody to be like, you look like this one, and hang you, because like you're just screwed, basically. You don't have money. You don't have an identity. You talk like a weird future freak, and like your only skill is like abstract thinking, which they're just like, fuck off, yeah. Man.
Yeah, it's crazy that Marty's not immediately burned as a witch in Back to the Future 3.
Right. Well, that guy almost shoots him with a shotgun the second he arrives.
Still, it's crazy that he convinced anyone, because they all were like, we all look and talk and are this one way, and you're this different way, and it's just much easier if we pretend that there's only the one way to be.
Right.
You could go both ways in time, like Dan's suggesting, and you could travel either way. Then our assumption is always with movies that you go back in time or you go forward in time with the intention of then returning to your own time. Like, that's where you live. But that's not how I think people would end up using it. If you had time travel, you might try that at first, but eventually you would just find a time period that you like and live there. I mean, the first thing you do at a party is you meet somebody new and you say, so where are you from? Because no one ever stays where they live. Everyone goes to a new location, they want to try something new. So you would just, there would be people from both the future and the past moving to new timelines. So you'd constantly be dealing with people who from all different timelines constantly.
I think going to the future would be a lot like going to college. If you went to a college where there weren't a lot of your high school friends there, like I knew people with whom I went to college, and they, the first day of college, were like, they had a goatee suddenly that they never had in high school, and it's like, this is me now. I'm allowed to reinvent myself, and it's fine.
I'm going by my middle name.
Do what we want. Yeah, no, that actually happened to me. That I, like, my sophomore or junior year in college, I saw someone that I knew from high school, Charlie, and I didn't even know that we went to the same school. We just happened to be in the same class, and before class started, he went up to me and was like, I'm Jack here. He's like, oh, okay. All right, fine, you're Jack. It's fine. I'm not going to question that. You just decided.
I told you to keep that secret.
Jack is hanging his head listening to this podcast right now. I worked so hard to create that new personality. But yeah, right. That would
his
be
his wife is like, is he talking about you, Jack? And I just, they're divorced now.
There'd just be people, yeah. You could recreate yourself in any timeline that you want. Yeah, it is like going to college constantly. But you also have the luxury of then also going back and fixing any mistakes that you have made as well, which means that you essentially have a reset button on your life, or a save point at least, on any point in your life. And that's one of the main things that's keeping us all from being sociopaths, I think, is that we have consequences in our lives. And if you no longer have consequences to anything that you do, then we'd all be terrible. Time travel would just turn us all into monsters, I think.
Yeah, it's why famous people are generally monsters. Because
yeah, no consequences.
Yeah, no consequences.
So we'd all be famous. We'd all be famous people!
Essentially, yeah.
If I can offer a dissenting opinion.
Yeah.
In
yeah,
favor of just, like, inner morals.
Yeah.
I'm not a monster because it's like bad to be a monster. You should do it. I feel that inside.
Yeah, but you know that you're going to feel bad about it. This is a whole different podcast. I do think that a lot of it is consequence. I mean, that's where a lot of morals are born from is, oh, you'll go to hell, probably. Or that's how you know that you can't do those bad things. I mean, we need kind of a lot of that to keep us in check, I think.
Well, you think that because you're a bad person.
Yeah.
Sora.
But
time travel.
If you didn't have that, you could go anywhere, you could fix anything, you would never have that problem. I think they kind of address that in Primer. I don't know if anyone's ever seen that. It's like a really strange movie. Yeah. They're where those guys just immediately fall apart. I mean, their morals disappear immediately. They start killing past versions of themselves and everything.
Right. It's the one movie that acknowledges that it's essentially a cloning machine.
But you'd also, I mean, you'd be going back in time and you're going to be fixing things that you want to fix for yourself. You didn't get to kiss that person at that party and now you go back and you do that. Or you go back and you place that bet or whatever you guys do instead of betting on football. Good luck is not just like, it's not just a renewing resource. Like that gets shifted around. So if you take money from a bet like that, you're taking it from somebody else. So what you're doing essentially by going back and taking advantage of these things that you didn't get the first time around is you're screwing somebody else's timeline. So that means that within your own life, assuming time travel already exists and there are people doing this kind of thing, anything, any sort of misfortune that's befallen you in your life very well could have been a time traveler coming back and fixing their own ideal life. And just fucking you in the meantime.
Almost that's definitely that's what it is. Yeah.
I can't come up with a compelling counter argument for why I'm not a basketball player.
Do you guys know the movie Safety Not Guaranteed?
Yeah.
First movie by the guy who made Jurassic World.
Colin Trevorrow.
Yeah. And it's based on this guy who, on a whim, they were like, there's 2 inches left in this magazine that we make. So they were like, hey, put a personal ad. And so he put in this personal ad that was just
this
like...
This is a true story, a real person.
True story. Yes. And that movie is based on this meme that started with this guy just writing basically a personal ad that was like, this is not a joke. I'm a real time traveler looking for one person to come back in time with me. Must bring your own weapon. Safety not guaranteed. And, like, he got this tsunami of mail, and it was all from, like, the saddest people. It was, like, all people in prison and stuff because, yeah, they were like, really? And he felt really bad, but he never cleared it up with any of those people. So they're just waiting.
They're still out there hoping that there's
right.
Still time travel?
Yeah. But I think that's true, that in order to want to go back in time, you have to, like, have such profound regrets. This is a funny podcast.
Or something terrible befell you. Yeah, these things where you... It could have so easily gone the other way, and had you just done one little thing differently, it would have gone the other way. But because of that Dan crushing his butterflies, you have no idea where that's going to lead in the future and who else that's going to affect. So each time, like, it's basically like a video game, but each time that you reset it, you're not thinking about all those ancillary characters in the game. You're thinking only about yourself.
Well, those characters aren't real people, Soren, so.
Neither are butterflies. They're weird little, like, grub monsters that go into hiding, and suddenly there's some other shit? No, that's disgusting. You can't do that. Be one thing.
I have a baby right now.
I didn't know if you were out in the open with that, but yeah. I was going to say, you kept, like, referring to this football bet you wanted to go back and change, but you just had a kid, man. Like,
and to the butterfly point, if you swaddle that baby one night, as parents are wont to do, and then the next day it's like, I'm wings now.
It'll achieve
its state. That's absurd. Don't do that.
I don't turn into its pupil state. I'll work on it, I guess.
If we're talking about time travel, which we're not, but if we were, I personally, in my heart of hearts, don't actually believe, like, my understanding of science, you cannot go backwards. I believe that someone smarter than me will be able to figure out a way that you can go forwards in time, but never back. I think you might disagree. I thought you disagreed on that. I thought you're all multiverse.
I'm pro going back in time travel. I think I have it figured out. No. Stephen Hawking, in order to disprove it, rather than just using math, which he, I think, is good at, he, like, threw this party and then only sent invitations out after the fact and was like, if there was such a thing as reverse time travel, someone would come back in time and go to that party. And it was like, that's really stupid logic, Stephen Hawking.
Yeah. Meanwhile, 20 years from now, when we have time travel, if I got an invitation from Stephen Hawking, I'm like, this fucking nerd from the past wants to
go. No, thanks.
Go
to his party. No,
his parties
thank
are terrible.
You.
Yeah, maybe they just didn't want to waste their one trip to the past on your shitty party that you didn't invite anyone else to. But yeah, I mean, you absolutely can travel into the future just by, you know, going faster than the speed of light. And I think the Mark Wahlberg Planet of the Apes proved that. I think we all know that, right?
That old documentary.
Neil deGrasse Tyson was answering the question of, like, what would happen if you went to the nearest black hole, did a revolution around it, and came back. So it took a year getting out there, went around it for a year, and spent a year coming back. And to people on Earth, it would seem like, I think, 60,000 years each way, like, because of how fast you would have to go. So yeah, you would just show up and everybody would be so smart.
I don't know. I think time travel is possible. It's a much more boring type, but it's like there's philosophies that say that you can use potential to go backwards, but you wouldn't be able to actually affect anything because time is structured. Everything is always happening. So they like describe it basically like a big funnel that you could go into and you could see the past across it. This isn't worth it. It's not worth going into that. It's not.
Time is a funnel.
Yeah, but that you basically.
I was on your every word. I'm with you on this.
Basically, that you could go back in time, but you would never be able to change anything because it's already happened, and because if time is linear and it's happened, you can't go back and alter that.
You could only go as a spectator.
Yeah, you'd be able to go back and see it, and you could potentially do that, I guess, if you could travel faster than the speed of light and you could get far enough out in the galaxy, I mean, the universe, and then you had a strong enough telescope to see back. You could then see everything happening because right now all these radio waves that we're emitting from like the 1930s and stuff haven't quite reached some planets yet. So it takes a while for that stuff to get out there. And
that's also useful. I wouldn't even call that going back in time. That's useful for a completely different purpose. That's useful for if we can go far enough in the future and get telescopes that are advanced enough to travel that fast that we can actually see historical events that have hitherto just been oral histories. That's wildly important to everything.
See where, human evolution came from. Everything like that. Well, our Garden of Eden, whatever. Whatever's your thing.
Thetans.
Oh, bold choice with Thetans.
Yeah, there's a theory that says that once people invent time travel, you can only travel back to that point. So you will be able to travel back and forth after the invention of time travel, but like not before that. Because those are the rules. I don't know.
Jack, you study and think and read much more about time travel than I do. Do you think it will happen in our lifetime?
No.
And oh, okay. I will just scrap my 19 follow-up question.
Just blank page after blank page in there.
There's that thing that if you created a time machine that was a functioning time machine and like went back in time to this specific point in space, you would end up somewhere out in space because the Earth is traveling around the sun. I don't know if you guys are aware of that. I was a science major. And the sun is rocketing through space, so there could be like all these like steampunk time travelers just like floating out in space, just like they're probably dead.
I hope they don't come here.
I feel like
steampunk is the future, man.
I feel like if time travel happened, we living in present, where in present as described as all presents of all time, we would never feel it at all. It'd be the same as Sean disappearing to either the Marines or Florida or the future or death. The changes would be imperceptible because someone would go back and fix things, and like people would, whatever leaders they assassinate so that worse atrocities don't happen. We don't have any context for that because in our backgrounds, the leaders were never there to begin with.
So, yeah, like, that's true.
Tomorrow could be different from today in wildly drastic ways, but we'll still like have this shared collective memory.
I don't like believing that because it assumes that the Holocaust was the best possible scenario.
That's a way to twist my words.
Sure. So what you're saying, Dan...
that they finally got that to that point and they were like, eh, close enough. Yeah.
This is an important time to bring up that I was the only one arguing for an internal sense of morality earlier. That I'm the only one on this floor who doesn't murder because I'm worried about jail.
So earlier you're saying that the strongest sperm makes it to the egg, right? It has to be the strongest one.
We got time for questions, is that?
Yeah, we got 19 minutes if people want to start lining up. And
if not, I'm going to start talking about Looper.
Oh, God. Also, if you're a time traveler, because I did mention that this was about time travel on Twitter today, so time travelers would have heard that by Stephen Hawking. Okay, logic.
Yeah, like, so there's
if you are a time traveler, you have to tell us.
Right, it's like cops, you have to tell us.
It's a little answer.
Hi, I'm Joe.
Hey, Joe.
He checks out. All right.
Basically, my thing about time travel is that for a lot of the time where you would want to go back, it's only good for white people to go back in time.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not white or white passing, going back to most times before like 1970, and then there's probably another limit on the other side there, but that would be awful for you.
I would say some of early Egypt is probably safe.
Yeah, there's probably another limit on the other side where white supremacy started. Yeah. But
Louis
well,
C.K.
not that it ended in 1970. But.
Louis C.K. has a great bit about that, where he's like, yeah, if you're white, you can basically go back to any time. You can go back and they'll go, oh, welcome, sir. Come right in. Come sit down. Have a seat. The other end of that coin. You cannot time travel if you're a minority to any point in time. It's just not worth it.
Not to any point in time in maybe
in
American history.
Before
yeah.
Before white people showed up. I mean,
right.
After white people showed up.
I'm sticking to my guns on this one.
That's classic white behavior, by the way. Thanks, Joe.
My name's Abel.
Abel,
M.
What is it?
Abel, with an M.
Abel.
Yeah.
A future. He's future.
Future name. That is a future name.
That was mine, too, that I love the Old West, but if I go to the Old West, my choices are laundry, railroad, opium, because I'm Asian. So my only choice is Mongols. Like, they give me 5 horses and a bow, and I have a yurt.
Right.
I'd be really happy there, but nowhere else in the past.
You have a yurt?
Are you trained to fire arrows from horseback?
I have training in archery as a completely side thing.
I've seen Marco Polo. I think you get it pretty quick.
That is a whole side story on that.
Do you really, Emil, you buried the lead.
I'm Emil the archer, as well. You should have led with that.
I did professional marksmanship for a year. And
you've been listening to us talk about time travel this whole time.
And as a completely random circumstance, happened to be trained one day by an Olympic-level archery trainer.
So if my view of time travel works, you can go into the future and just Hunger Games the shit out of the planet. Like that's,
yeah.
Your skills will be valuable everywhere.
Pretty much.
Is that a skill that you learned, like, in case of the fall of society, or in case of time travel? It's one of those two. That's an A and B question.
Side effect of just having a fun hobby.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, Emil.
Thanks, Emil.
That is, without question, the most interesting person in this entire room.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not listening to the Emil podcast.
Good luck, next guy.
If there are any time travelers listening, fix Cracked and make it Emil's website.
I just have a cool science thing to add about time travel. I'm Jordan, by the way.
Morgan?
Jordan.
Jordan. Mm. I am. Really going deaf.
It has to do with the whole paradox thing about time travel. That it's mostly to do with traveling back in time, like killing your grandfather or something like that. But the idea is that if you were to open a portal that would go back in time into any point or to the same point in time, the elements or atoms that are around the portal would continuously go back in time creating a paradox almost, where they would, at that moment, always be traveling back in time until they decay, and then it would just create a vacuum, and then all the atoms would continue to go into the portal, and then the universe would explode, basically.
You sound like you thought that through, man.
Yeah.
Does that include the atoms of you, like if you try to go back? So you cannot go...
Oh, well, no, you're like a physical thing. It's just like gas or anything that can move or moves into a vacuum.
I'm just trying to get what the consequence of that
is. This means that if anyone goes back in time via a portal...
We lose some air? Fuck that air.
Do we all die if one person goes back?
Yes.
Oh, that's worse. Okay.
All right, this podcast is over.
But what if, like, I really wanted to kiss this girl freshman year of high school?
I would allow it.
Thanks, Jordan.
Hi, I'm David.
Hey, David.
My thing just goes off of that whole idea of if time travel is only possible back to the time when you invented time travel, it's actually optimistic to be on Jack's side and say that it won't happen in our lifetimes. Because the lifetime where that first beat, like, happens... That's where every single history nerd and hipster in the history of ever for the rest of infinity, that's the spot they'll want to go to build their steampunk universe. And so, like, you become the shittiest tourist destination ever. Literally.
It's like the time version of, like, Lower Manhattan. It's just, like, stacked up with just...
Man, what if that's in Terminator... That point when Sarah Connor and when that guy comes back to meet up with Sarah Connor, if we find out that guy, you know, John Connor's dad, whatever the fuck his name is, that we find out that ancillarily, they have also invented time travel right at that moment. And that's why the machines don't go back further to just like wipe out Sarah Connor, wipe out anything before that. That's the first point when they can go back to. That would make that franchise make more sense, at least.
That means they invented time travel, and then we're like, but we really got to move forward with this robot that has an Austrian accent, even though we just invented fucking time
that
travel.
That timeline means they invented time travel, put it on a shelf, invented robots, didn't go forward to see what happened with the robots.
Wait, they invented time travel, and then within like a couple years, Skynet wiped everything out, so time travel got shelved.
That actually makes perfect sense, because it means that you invented time travel, realized you could only go back to this point, and went, shit, we need to make the best weapons to send back to this point, and then immediately started doing that.
Stockpiling the machines. Ooh, I like that.
That's true. It all supports David's point, though, that whether we're doing war things or doing important historical things, as soon as we invent time travel, everything that happened before that doesn't matter. I mean, it's not like it gets wiped out from the annals of history. Yeah. It's just like, these are no longer...
relevant.
In the running for the most important things that could happen.
Yes.
It is a bummer.
So cross your fingers.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, David.
Hey, I'm Kyle.
Hi, Matt.
Matt?
Kyle.
I want to know if there are so many lights in our faces that you're just a bunch of
your beard. Shapes. It's so bright that you can't hear.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if... and this has to do with time travel. If any of you have heard of the concept of a thing called a Jinni or a Jinn, I think it's spelled all the ways you can think about J's and G's. So it's essentially an object or an idea that can have no origin, that exists. Like if like an old man version of me, obviously a time traveler, like were to like give me this iPhone and then say, you'll know what to do with this. And then like obviously I age and then I come back to the UCB theater and I give it to my younger self. Well, that iPhone was not made by Apple, was it? It's one of those things. I think there's like a Christopher Reeve movie where he has like a watch. I don't know if you guys have heard of that. Doesn't seem like
that. Right.
Yeah, but.
So it's no longer Apple.
I think like movies have played with this actually like with ideas. Like I think Doc Brown, like when he goes back to himself in the 50s, he's like, don't you mean a blah, blah, blah. And like maybe he remembers that because of that, so an idea, but it's much more
freaky. Yeah, well, that's
freaky.
Chuck Berry's song. That's Johnny Be Good.
There you go, exactly.
I think it's why Hot Tub Time Machine wouldn't have worked, because that franchise
presupposes
that Rob Corddry's character, Lou, decides not to go back to his present, and he decides to invent Google. And they call it Lugal. And you're saying that never would have happened because if he invented Lugal, then Google doesn't get invented in the first timeline, and that wouldn't give the idea to Lou to go back and invent
Google. Well, I guess my thing was actually supposing that time was the cyclical, unchangeable thing that Soren rejected early on. You know what I'm saying? Well, now you guys have something to think about.
I thought I was advocating
that.
No,
it's cool. Like, we don't know. Like, you know, it splits. Oh, yeah. Alternate me. Well, thanks.
Thanks, Kyle.
Thanks, Kyle.
I like that impression you did of old Kyle. I thought it was so good.
I'm Evan.
Evan.
Hey, you got it right.
Nailed it.
All right, so you've made some comments about changing a bet, and you have a dream of killing butterflies, but...
It's not a dream.
But if you could actually go back and change something, what would it be?
You mean with all the pitfalls of actually trying to change something big, right? Or does that not matter? We could just go back and
you
change
can be
anything?
You can be as selfish as you want.
Oh, man, if Dan says anything but the Holocaust now, he's in so much trouble.
I would undo the Holocaust. Was hoping for a bigger applause on that.
Squeezed it out of us to say that, don't we?
I'd probably go back and kiss that girl that Dan wanted to kiss in high school.
Kudos.
Oddly enough, I think if Soren would have kissed Sarah McCarthy, there would have been no Holocaust. That's all it would have taken.
Did you guys ever answer when you would go back to? The place and time that you would go back to?
No,
For funsies?
I would have to go somewhere incredibly low stakes. I'd have to go somewhere just for the sheer experience of being part of something that I'm not, that I hadn't been a part of, but not something big enough. Like, it can't be so far back that my manner of dress and speaking is wildly different.
You wouldn't invest in, like, a costume or something just to fit in?
No, I would I spent so much money on this time travel. I have no idea. I would go, I think that the smartest thing I can do is be a fly on the wall on some important conversation, whether it's happening in my lifetime, or if you gave me a raise and I could afford one of those fancy costumes or like literally a shirt with sleeves.
Is that really sleeveless?
No,
I just got his t-shirt.
I would go back somewhere and just like listen to people much smarter than me and more intellectual and well-read. Like I would sit with the framers and just watch them argue and see their passion and just listen. I'd go somewhere and listen as much as I can and absorb as much as I can and then come back and rule the fucking school. I don't know.
Yeah. Sick answer, bro.
I think I'd probably want to go back to some point fairly recently. I don't want to go too far back because I don't want to be wiped out from the time change. Just sleep through my whole vacation.
Right, I don't want to do that. But you're okay with your recently born child.
Oh, right. Oh, no, I can't go back. Thanks, Jack. Thank you for reminding me.
That football bet, though, man. Yeah, I would say Guns N' Roses when they played the Sunset Strip would be pretty cool.
I think we have one more question from the audience.
All right, I'll make it quick. I have this obsession that goes back a long time where we're living in a simulation. Have you guys covered that in a podcast? It seems like it's something you would cover.
The Matrix?
Yeah, something like The Matrix, something more
like, that was us.
But not The Matrix. I'm thinking it's more like SimCity version 2.211, where you just have some teenage kid who's doing this. They're the god. There's a group of physicists in our reality here who play with the mathematical idea that they can prove whether or not we're in a simulation. And so everything makes sense if we're in a simulation, including things like The Matrix, where he hacked into The Matrix. Well, couldn't you do time travel in either direction if we're in a simulation?
Yeah, we should be able to. Good point. Let's go, guys. Yeah.
I feel like the entirety of human existence makes sense either if we're getting smarter or someone who's running a simulation is getting more bored and more creative. Like both those things can be true. Like, we start out as cavemen and women, and then we evolve into where we are now, where we have cars and electric cars and self-driving cars and probably other non-car-based technology, but just things that seem leaps and bounds over the tools and toys that we were playing with right at the very beginning. Now we've either gotten smarter or someone was like, I think I've really taken horses all that I can take them, so like let me add this new thing into their simulation. And if it is a simulation, then any minute now this person will get so bored and be like, you know what, time travel, let's just give these same as time travel.
That's right. Certainly the easiest way time travel could exist, though, is in a simulation. I mean, if it is a simulation and it's manufactured on both ends, then it's like really feasible. Then it's, yeah, okay, it's easy, you could travel back or forth.
Right, someone will have created an algorithm and a set of rules that will be followed, and then it'll just work, because rules are great.
Yeah, there's some mathematical argument that says that it's more probable than not that we live in a simulation that blew my mind when I read it, but I forget what it is. So that was dynamite drop in by me. I just want to say that I really liked the fact that the simulation is 2.211. They stuck with the 2. SimCity 2.211. But yeah, we're all living in a simulation. I think that's pretty clear to everyone here. What else? We have 4 minutes.
I don't think there's enough time for a more moves to talk about. But
push-ups?
This is, yeah, we do push-ups. Well, I don't think there are, now it's 3 minutes. There's no way there's enough time for you to have a push-ups. This podcast, like most of the other ones that we do in a live setting, drive home the fact that the people who come and support us are the smartest people.
Yeah.
It's really so insane that no one came up there and was like, what about Looper? Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
What a beautiful face I have found in this place that is circling all around the sun. What a beautiful dream that could flash on the screen in a blink of an eye and be gone from me. Soft and sweet, let me hold it close and keep it here with me.
All right, that was our conversation. It's a lot of fun. If you want to have that kind of fun and want to be one of those smart-sounding Olympic archering audience members, we have another live show coming up on Wednesday, December the 9th. If you live in LA, stands for Los Angeles, Spanish for the Angelas, Alex Schmidt, a.k.a. Schmitty the Clam, and Michael Swaim, a.k.a. Michael Swaim, and I are going to talk to some real live scientists at the UCB Sunset Theater on Wednesday, December the 9th, about the apocalypse. If you've been listening to our special Sunday bonus episodes, this time instead of looking at the stand-style apocalypse that we did in the first one of those episodes, we're going to be looking at Mad Max-style apocalypses with real scientists. So yeah, good news, you'll be able to actually see them forcing a uncomfortable smile as I'm like, yo, what about the Terminators, dog? Damn, where are them Terminators at? All right, on to footnotes, in which I explain what would have had to have happened for the ending of the first Back to the Future movie to make sense. All the things that would have had to have happened in between Marty leaving Doc in 1955 and Marty arriving back in a future to replace a child who looks like him. I think I mentioned it a couple of times, but in case you were wanting to hear me say semen a couple more times, all of the millions of sperms are genetically different. There are millions and millions of male and millions of females, all genetically different, coming out of George McFly's boner. Hey, I didn't say this was going to be easy, guys. Gross. So half of Marty's DNA is determined by which one reaches, and that's a total crapshoot. Also, after conception, the food that the mother eats during pregnancy can determine health, likelihood that the child smokes, obesity. So something as minimal as the berry that the farm handpicked all the way up Marty's mom's food chain could have altered the course of who that child is when he's born. So for Marty to look exactly the same, for his parents to not have arrived home and been like, ah, who the fuck are you at the end of the movie, Doc has to have primed this timeline. And the only way he could have done that is by kidnapping Marty from the original timeline with the poor parents and switching him with the baby in this timeline that he's returning to. So to allow for the existence of nerdy parents Marty at all, he has to have gone back to the moment that Marty arrived back in 1955 and immediately murdered him, Looper style, in order to create a timeline where Marty didn't have a chance to meet his parents in 1955 and throw off his own conception again. So Doc then has to have gone to the future when original Marty is born to nerdy George and Lorraine, kidnapped that Marty. Next, he went back in time to the point at which Marty arrived back in time, loopered the version of himself that was about to looper Marty, stayed out of Marty's way, and let him do exactly what he did in the original Back to the Future that we saw, almost fuck his mom, get his dad to grow a pair. While this is happening, Time Lord Doc is holed up in some room trying not to make a sound with baby Marty born to nerdy George and Lorraine. And then once he and Marty do their thing and Marty has time traveled forward with lightning, Doc time travels forward to the birth of rich George and Lorraine's youngest child, or
whichever child was born closest to Marty's birthday, kidnapped that real child and replaced it with the Marty born to nerdy, poor George and Lorraine that he had kidnapped months earlier, unless the child born closest to Marty's birthday was a girl, which is a 50-50 prospect. If it was a girl, he would have to go back, travel to 9 months earlier when the child was conceived, and, I don't know, sing Kiss the Girl through the window or do something to infinitesimally alter the course of George and Lorraine's fucking. And he would have had to do it as many times as that version of Marty was born a girl, each time in the rich parents' timeline. Once they finally have a boy on schedule, he steals that baby, replaces it with the poor Marty he's had, I don't know, in his backpack or wherever he's been keeping it the whole time. So that Marty returns to a world where George and Lorraine have a son that looks like Marty. Then, when that Marty grows up rich, he sends him back in a time machine that is really just an exploding car at the mall, because he can't risk sending rich, spoiled Marty back in time. So the Marty we see travel back in time at the end in the Lone Pines Mall is just exploding there. We've talked about that on a past podcast. So Marty goes home to a family that won't scream in a world where someone who looks like him exists, even though, of course, it was a totally different version of him by all nurture principles, right? That Marty grew up with rich parents. He would have been only genetically different, but probably by all rights, a completely different person. And so before rich George and Lorraine can realize that this Marty is not the one that they're used to, Doc has to come back in time and take that Marty forward to October 2015 to keep everybody distracted and keep things moving. So that's a couple versions of Marty that Doc has to have loopered, one version of himself, 2 to 3 McFly babies kidnapped, probably a couple of them replaced with babies from other couples or switched at birth, probably a handful of nurse orderlies, chloroformed, etc. That is what Doc Brown has to have done with the 30 years in between when Marty goes forward in time with lightning at the end of the Back to the Future movie and Doc gets shot while wearing a bulletproof vest. Whew! I'm sure you were following all of that at home and taking diligent notes. Anyways, that is this week's episode, and we're going to ride out on In an Airplane Over the Sea by Neutral Milk Hotel, which is my favorite album of all time and also happens to be about time travel. It's written by a guy who fell in love and like wrote an entire album of love songs to Anne Frank. But anyways, it's somewhat about time travel, which I guess I've realized during the making of this podcast, all of my favorite pop culture ever has some relation to time travel. Anyways, I hope you enjoy it. It's a great album. If you don't own it, you should go buy it immediately. Listen to the whole thing. It's wonderful. And we are back next Sunday with the 4th episode of our bonus breakthrough series, and back the week after with more regular Crack Podcast. Talk to you guys then. Hey guys, don't forget to follow Nikki as she discovers what The Message is all about. This new sci-fi series will blur the lines between reality and fiction as the famous War of the Worlds radio broadcast did almost 80 years ago. Don't miss a second of this new modern-day War of the Worlds podcast for GE Podcast Theater and Panoply called The Message. Subscribe today to The Message on iTunes or your favorite podcast app.
They tricked me. Earwolf did a prank on me. Hi, I'm Sean Clements. I do Hollywood Handbook. I'm one of the two hosts, and Hayes Davenport is probably the host you would like better, but I'm who's here today. Anyway, I made a promise to anyone who listened to one of these little inserts that they would not attach a clip of Hollywood Handbook because, of course, I think that it's actually kind of filthy and dirty for Earwolf to just take someone who is trying to listen to one show and force them to listen to a piece of another show. I just don't think that's I didn't want them to put a clip in. I guess what I've learned is they did attach a clip, and that I guess it was super funny and it made people want to check out the show because they picked like a really great part from one of our episodes. I wish they hadn't done that. They've promised to let me come in, correct the mistake by just saying we're never doing it again. And now when I stop talking, you're not going to hear a clip from Hollywood Handbook. You're just going to go either back to your show or you go listen to something else. If you decide to check us out because it's what you want, that's fine, but you're not going to get forced to listen to us. Bye.
Laos is where sriracha comes from, which is something that a lot of people haven't heard of yet, but I go wild for that stuff.
I put it in oatmeal. I put it on hot
dogs. I'll put it on eggs.
I put it in cherry pie. I put it on a fish. And I literally will eat it.
Eat the whole thing.
I will eat the whole thing after I put sriracha. After I put sriracha on it.
Hollywood Handbook.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Adam Sachs, and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.